coming up on The Overcoming Life with Jimmy Evans.
David, in the worst times in his life, put his eyes on God, and he told us in the book of Psalms the attitudes that we should have when we're going through difficulty. And when you can't see outside, when you're going through bad times, you can hang on to this right here, and it will predict whether you get out or not. Attitude is defined in the dictionary, first of all, as a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically reflected in a person's behavior. It's a way that you think. That's what we're saying as I change my mind, is we can think a certain way, and that's our attitude. The second definition of attitude is a position of the body proper to or implying an action or mental state. And so, you know, when I'm preaching, I'm very thankful for attentive people, you know, while I'm preaching. But every now and then I'll be preaching on a topic and I'll look out and somebody will be going, and the, you know, kind of by their body posture, you know, I can kind of tell they don't really appreciate the point I'm making right then. You can tell in a person's body position sometimes what their attitude is about something. Another definition is the orientation of an aircraft relative to the direction of flight. There's a nose up attitude in an airplane, a nose level, and a nose down. And so the attitude indicator in a plane, I'll talk about that more in just a minute, is very important. So you can't overstate the importance of an attitude in a person's life. It probably more than any other issue determines our success or failure in life, except maybe for being saved and knowing the Lord. And so an attitude's run in groups. You can find a family with a certain attitude. You know, the Hatfields and the McCoys, you know, versus, you know, a godly family. Businesses have attitudes. I guarantee you, I can walk into a chain, you know, a chain that's across the nation. You can walk into a store and you can expect a certain attitude, whether that attitude's good or bad. I fly a lot, you know, on commercial airlines, and I guarantee you, there are airlines that have attitudes, both good and bad. And churches that have attitudes. And so I'm saying there it runs in groups. It's not just isolated all the time. But Romans 12, this is what Romans 12 says, verse 1, and this is kind of the theme of our entire series. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word conformed literally means a schematic. It means to be identical to something else. And being conformed to the world in our thinking means we just think like everybody else. We think like the world thinks, but transformation here, this word in the Greek is metamorpho, where we get our word metamorphosis, and it means a complete change, a total transformation by the renewing of your mind. Paul is saying the transformation that God is going to do in your life is going to come as your mind is renewed, and he says, and as your mind is renewed, you will be able to know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, I don't want the good will of God. I don't want the acceptable will of God. I want the perfect will of God. But did you know when your mind is not renewed, you can't understand those things? When your mind begins to be renewed, you can understand the good will of God, and that's good. As your mind continues to be renewed, you can understand the acceptable will of God. But when your mind has been renewed, you can understand the perfect will of God for your life. So it's essential that we don't conform to other people's attitudes or way of thinking, but that we conform to biblical ways of thinking and attitudes so that we can know the perfect will of God and be successful in our lives. So let me talk about attitude here for just a minute. And by the way, the question that I would ask you after reading that scripture is, do you think you have a godly attitude or a worldly attitude? And it might run in, you know, it might be segregated. It might be that in certain areas you have a good attitude, but in other areas you don't have such a good attitude. Okay, John Maxwell, in his book, The Winning Attitude, here's what he says about attitude, and I love this. He says, attitude is the advanced man of our true selves. Your attitude goes before you. It's your true self. Its roots are inward, but its fruits are outward. It is our best friend and worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is a thing that draws people to us or repels them, and that's absolutely the truth there. It is never content until it's expressed. It is the librarian of our past. When we go into our past and we're retrieving past events, our attitude is the librarian. And we're either going to be grateful and we're going to think about the good, or we're going to be ungrateful and think about the bad. We're going to be forgiving or we're going to be bitter. It's the librarian that goes back into our past and retrieves memories and interprets those memories. It's the speaker of our present. You're always speaking through your attitudes. And it's the prophet of our future. I have this quote, and it says that attitudes are like flat tires. You're not going to get anywhere in life until you change it. And when you have a bad attitude, it's going to keep you from having the future that God wants you to have. It literally is the prophet of our future. President Thomas Jefferson said, "Nothing can stop the man with a right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude." And I absolutely believe that that's right. And so here are some truths about our attitudes. These are just some truths that about the attitudes that we have. Number one, we choose our attitudes. They're our choice. There was a man named Viktor Frankl who was a prisoner of war in Auschwitz, World War II. You remember that the Nazis killed 6 million Jews. It's hard to get in your brain how anyone could be so evil as to kill that many people, but they killed 6 million Jews. And they did it in the gas chambers, mainly in the gas chambers in prisoner of war camps. Auschwitz was one of those camps. And there was a man named Viktor Frankl, and they killed his mother. The Nazis killed his mother, and then his wife and his brother both died in concentration camps. Only his sister survived. Only he and his sister survived of his immediate family. And they put him to forced labor in Auschwitz, and in the midst of his circumstances, which could not have been worse, he said, "I choose to suffer with dignity, and regardless of what the Nazis do to me, I will never hate one of them." Regardless of what they do, regardless of whether they kill my mother and my brother and my wife, and they put me to forced labor and exterminated 6 million of my fellow Jews, I choose to suffer with dignity and I will not hate them. See, they may have defeated him physically, but they never defeated him spiritually. And he got out of the concentration camp. People were dying right and left of just hunger or just disappointment, just having their hearts broken under the circumstances. He got out and became a motivational speaker and author and died in 1997. He lived a successful life. You choose your attitude. No one chooses it for you. The second truth about attitudes are not caused by people or circumstances. And there is a deception that says, if my circumstances were different, I would have a better attitude. But that's just simply not true. You can't connect that to reality. We choose our attitudes regardless. Here, let me give you some examples of this. Adam and Eve were perfect people. Adam and Eve died at over 900 years old. And I'm telling you, that is old. If you're here, you're 900. I'm telling you, your face, you're old. You're old as dirt. I'm saying it right to your face. Listen. Adam and Eve had these, they were created perfect, perfect bodies in a perfect paradise. They never had to work, they never did anything. And God lived with them. God walked in the garden with them. It was perfect. And God told them there was one thing on planet Earth they couldn't have, and it was a piece of fruit. And they became unthankful and rebellious and took that fruit and ate it. You couldn't have better circumstances than they had, but they had a bad attitude. David, King David is a really interesting example of this. In the worst times of his life, he had a fabulous attitude, and in the best times of his life, he had a bad attitude. The Psalms that we read were mostly written by King David in bad times, when Saul was pursuing him, when people were against him, when his life was being endangered. And in those times, he just had this fabulous, godly, humble, faith-filled attitude. But in the best times, Bathsheba, the census, some of the worst things that David did came in the good times. Again, you can't connect attitudes with people or circumstances. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16 went to Philippi to preach the gospel. They took him, they beat him with rods, they threw him in prison, and at midnight he was having a worship service to God and praising God. You just can't connect it. And some of us believe, my attitude's not right, but if my circumstances changed, it would be right. You can't connect that to reality. It's simply not true. Number three, truth. about attitudes. Happiness is a chosen attitude, not a state of being. We choose happiness. It's an attitude. Many people, many of the greatest comedians in history have been people who came out of tragic circumstances. Now, some of you are too young maybe to remember Carol Burnett, but she's an example of this. Carol Burnett is a hilarious comedian. And Carol Burnett, both of her parents were alcoholics. She was raised by her grandmother. She never had a bed or a bedroom. She slept on a couch, and she studied for school by a dim light in the bathroom. But in the midst of her circumstances, listen, she decided to be happy and make other people happy. It's a choice that we have. Some people are miserable and decide to make other people miserable. It's a choice that we make. But some people who come out of the most, you know, terrible backgrounds choose happiness in the midst of their circumstances. I love these quotes. Hugh Downs said, "A person, a happy person, is not a person in a certain set of circumstances, but rather a person with a certain set of attitudes." Absolutely the truth. Now, this next one is my favorite quote on happiness. Now, listen to this, because it's the truth. Happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. If you believe that, you're headed for a good life. The devil will always tell you, you know, you can travel to it, you can consume it, you can wear it. Let me tell you something, if you don't have happiness right now, you won't have it then. You can choose happiness at any point in your life. It is the spiritual experience of living every moment of my life with gratitude to God. It's an attitude. It's not thrust upon me. It doesn't happen to the lucky and not happen to the unlucky. It's a choice that I make. Abraham Lincoln said it this way, "We are as happy as we make up our minds to be."
Every one of us experiences worry, insecurity, fear, and failure. But you can overcome your thoughts and live a life of freedom and peace. This practical series, I Change My Mind, will teach you proven steps to experiencing success, how to overcome worry and anxiety, and how to eliminate fear in order to find fulfillment. Today, for a gift of $55 or more, you'll receive the full I Change My Mind series on CD or audio download. And we'll also include the book, which will teach you how to overcome negative emotions. If you'd like to receive the full series on DVD or video download, as well as the book, we'll send them to you for $90 or more. And for your gift of any amount, we'll send you the session, I Changed My Mind About My Attitude, on CD or audio download. Happiness is a choice within your control. You can change your mind and experience breakthrough in every area of your life today.
Number four, God rewards good attitudes and he disciplines bad attitudes. It's the truth, and so do good parents. Don't wait till it's become behavior. Discipline it when it's an attitude. Our son Brent came home from school. He was about 10 years old, and he came home from school just absolutely, just unbelievably upset. And so as soon as I came in the door, he said, Dad, I got disciplined today at school for rolling my eyes. All I did was roll my eyes. The teacher said something. I didn't do anything. I said, "I like that teacher, Brent. I'm on her side." The teacher told him something to do, and he went, "She disciplined him." Don't wait till it becomes behavior. God disciplines attitudes. Now, God always loves us. Listen, your God is madly in love with you, and nothing can change that. Isn't that good news? It's absolutely true. But like any parent, he's able to relate to us based on our attitudes. Let me give you some scriptural examples. James 4:6, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Is pride an attitude? Well, of course it is. We can choose to be prideful or we can choose to be humble. But it says he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He loves the proud. We all deal with pride. He loves us when we're prideful, but prideful puts itself above God. Prideful goes the opposite direction of God, believing it will succeed. Listen, God loves you too much not to fight you when you're going the wrong way. People who pat you on the back on your way to destruction do not love you. And your God loves you too much not to fight for you when you're going the wrong way. Somebody needs to say, praise the Lord. He fights for us, okay? But when we're humble, he's able just to shower his graces on us because he likes that attitude. He's rewarding that right attitude. Humility is not humiliation. It's just seeing ourselves correctly in light of God. It's just a humble, gracious kind of an attitude. Okay, by the way, verse 10 there says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. Honestly and truly, sometimes all God is waiting on is an attitude change in our lives to bless us and to give us what we're looking for. He loves us, but he does deal with our attitudes. It's just the truth. It's part of his growing us up. I love this scripture. This is Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 7. Listen, this is talking about God as our Father and how he disciplines. Hebrews 12. If you endure chastening, discipline, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which we have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us. We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. Listen to scripture now, listen. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? God's your father, he's gonna discipline you because he loves you, just like any father. So respect your father like your heavenly father, like you would your earthly father, and just know everything he's doing for your good, but he's disciplining attitudes. This is why it talks about hands that hang down and feeble knees. Okay. So we babysit. We're Lolly and Pappy. Karen and I are Lolly and Pappy. We have grandkids. We babysit. So about a month ago or so, Brent and Stephanie, our son and daughter-in-law, they went on a trip and we babysit for 5 days. One-year-old grandson, five-year-old granddaughter. We love, they're precious, but Lollies and Pappies, 4 days is really as long as you should go. So, Kate is our granddaughter. She's precious. And Kate's full of energy. She's full of life and full of energy. And so we're babysitting. So I'm sitting there. I'm in my office, actually. And there's a play area outside my office there. So I'm in my office. I'm kind of on my computer or something. She's out there playing. Just got all kinds of energy. So she gets finished. And Karen said, you know, dinner's ready. And so I said, okay, Kate, you know, clean up your toys there. And we'll go down for dinner. And she said, Pappy, I'll pick them up later. And I said, no, Kate, go ahead and pick them up. And I said, pick him up and we'll go down for dinner. And this little girl, this bouncing off the walls 30 seconds before, as soon as you tell her something to do, she doesn't want to do. The hands that hang down and the feeble knees. So I've had practice at that. So, God's dealing with you as his children. This is what the writer, don't be surprised. God's dealing with you as his children. So, you know, discipline is over when the lesson gets learned. And if Kate would have said to me, Kate, go clean up your toys. Pappy, thank you for reminding me. I didn't hear that, but I was dreaming about it. Pappy, thank you so much. I'm gonna go right in there and clean up my toys. And please come and see if I did it right. Listen, God says to us, I want you to forgive that person. Do you know what they did to me? And we, it's little brats. And God said, it's pitiful. You know, when you're watching your grandkids do that, it's just like, you know, they're so cute, but you know. It's part of immaturity, right? That little pity party thing. So God looks at us as his children. Here's what he's saying. I didn't create you to be spectators. I created you to be warriors in my army and to rule and reign with me. And because of that, I'm going to grow you up to act like me. And I want you to be responsible, mature people so that you can live a victorious life. And for that reason, I'm going to deal with that attitude. And all of us who are raising children as parents, And when we discipline them, we're disciplining them for their good so they'll grow up and they can be responsible adults. Because I don't want my kids to go to work for someone and they say, oh, would you go over here and do that? My kids go, I want them to be mature, responsible adults. Say, absolutely, I'll do that, and do it with the right attitude. That's what God blesses. Number five, truth about attitudes. Good attitudes precede and predict success, favor, and promotion. And bad attitudes precede and predict failure, disfavor, and demotion. You can predict what's going to happen in your life by your attitudes. Now, this is an attitude indicator on an airplane. Watch this right here. That's an attitude indicator, one of the most important instruments in an airplane. And it's for when you can't see outside. When you can see outside, you don't need that. But when you're in instrument conditions and you can't see outside, that red dot in the middle, that white line in the middle is the false horizon. And that red dot is telling you the attitude of the airplane, whether it's nose up, level, or nose down. Obviously, if it's level, you're cruising. If it's nose up, you're climbing. If it's nose down, you're crashing. So when you can't see outside, when you can't see, when I got my license, an FAA examiner was in the plane with me, and they put foggles on you. They put you under the hood. You can't see outside, but you can see your instruments. The FAA examiner they put it in what's called an unusual attitude. The FAA examiner would take the plane, put it in an unusual attitude, you know, something banked like this, and without looking outside, with looking at that, I had to right the airplane three times. It was easy, because all I had to do is just look at that white line, that dot. Listen to me. There are times in your life where you can't see. Bad circumstances are going on. And it's the worst. See, if you're flying and you can't see outside and you trust your emotions or the way that you feel, you get vertigo and you'll fly the plane straight into the ground thinking you're flying level. That's how John Kennedy Jr. died. He was not instrument rated. He was flying over the ocean at night. He lost his visual reference and he flew straight into the ocean. When they found the wreckage of the plane, he flew that plane directly into the ocean thinking he was level, because he had vertigo. Your inner ear will lie to you when you're flying. And even a very good pilot who thinks they're doing well, when they can't see outside, they'll get what's called the leans. And that means you barely dip a wing and you start flying in circles until you spiral into the ground. But you think everything's going good. And it almost is, except you have a wing that's dipped. Let me tell you something. When you're going through difficulty in life, this is your attitude indicator right here. In the book of Psalms alone, David, in the worst times in his life, put his eyes on God, and he told us in the book of Psalms the attitudes that we should have when we're going through difficulty. And when you can't see outside, when you're going through bad times, you can hang on to this right here, and it will predict whether you get out or not.
Well, this program today is one of my favorite teachings ever that I've done. I think I get more feedback on this particular teaching than any teaching I do. A lot of parents want their children to hear this teaching, but as adults, all of us know we kind of need this truth in our lives regularly, and that is your attitude predicts your future. You set your attitude. You know, I mean, we all do. We choose our attitudes. No one chooses our attitudes for us. And I gave you examples in that teaching of people who went through the best of times and had a bad attitude, and people who went through the worst of times and had a fantastic attitude. We change our attitudes, but I'm a pilot, and when you're flying an airplane, you have a little gauge right in front of your face that's your attitude indicator, and it shows you the attitude of the airplane. An attitude with an airplane with a nose-down attitude, you can't keep that nose down for too long. You're going to crash. If you have a level attitude, it just means you're not going up or down. You're just kind of staying the same. But if you're going to climb, if you're going to go higher, you've got to get your nose up, and you've got to have a nose-up attitude. I'm saying in our lives, Jesus died for us. He forgave us of our sins. He gave us His Holy Spirit to empower us for success. He gave us His Word to show us what victory and success looks like in every area of our lives. We have been forgiven of our sins. We're on our way to heaven, so on and so forth. We have been given every opportunity to live an overcoming life, but we have to have the right attitude. A bad attitude changes everything. If I have a bad attitude, it doesn't matter how much money I have. It doesn't matter what giftings I have. It doesn't matter anything else in life. A bad attitude ruins everything. But listen, it doesn't matter what disadvantages I have or what's going wrong if I have a good attitude. A good attitude changes everything. And I'm just saying, God is on His throne. He's for us. He loves us. He's done everything for us. Why don't we have a good attitude and honor God and live our lives as overcomers? That's the purpose of this program, is just to remind us about how great our God is and how good He's been to us, and that we ought to live every single day with a great attitude to honor Him and to live our lives the way He designed. And that's my prayer for you, is for you to overcome in every single area of your life. Thank you for joining me today. I'll see you back here next time for more of The Overcoming Life.
I changed my mind. Overcome negative thoughts and live a life of freedom and peace through this practical series by Jimmy Evans. For your gift of $55 or more, you'll receive the series on CD or audio download and Jimmy's book, When Life Hurts. For your gift of $90 or more, you'll receive the series on DVD or video download and the book. Discover how to always have a positive attitude, how to overcome worry and anxiety, and how to eliminate fear and find fulfillment.
We have the ability to expose, to challenge, and to expel any thought that is in our minds right now that doesn't belong there.
For your gift of any amount to support The Overcoming Life, we'll give you the teaching, I Changed My Mind About My Attitude, as an audio download. Happiness is a choice within your control. You can change your mind and experience breakthrough in every area of your life.
When you have an EXO simulcast in your church, you're helping to build the marriages in your church. And I'm just telling you, as a pastor, here's what I know. A church is only as healthy as the marriages in that church. Marriage is the number one felt need in every community. Over half the people at the event are not members of the church. And what happens is, when people know that your church is a marriage building church, they want to stay. They don't just come for the marriage event, they stay. We make it easy for you to have a marriage event in your church. And this is a world-class event that's very affordable. I want to encourage you, have an EXO simulcast at your church, advertise it in your community and in your church, and I guarantee you, it's going to bless the couples, and it's going to bless your church. God bless you. Be a part of the EXO simulcast.
Thank you for watching The Overcoming Life with Jimmy Evans.
Support The Overcoming Life with your best gift and receive the series, I Changed My Mind. Become an official host site of EXO 2019. Join hundreds of other churches as we bring the EXO Global Simulcast to thousands of couples around the world. Host this event at your church by visiting exosimulcast.com.
Start the path to becoming the person God made you to be with the 21-Day Total Freedom Journey. With 21 daily plans and video teachings from Jimmy Evans, this app will help transform your heart, mind, and spirit. Visit 21dayjourney.com.
This program is made possible by the generous support of our faithful partners.